The electronics. Always good. The clicker. I need the clicker. Okay. So, today we're, let me give you a preview of next week. Next week, Brother Darrell will be here, and he's going to be talking about putting some of the stuff that we're talking about in Discipleship 101 into action. And he's going to be talking about mission fields. He's going to be talking about all the things that we've been talking about. He's going to talk to us about serving, how we serve those folks in the foreign mission fields, how we target those people, how they go about targeting who they're going to talk to, what doors they're going to knock. And so he's going to go through everything. Today, we're moving from targeting, now that we've talked about serving and we've talked about targeting, now we're going to move to connecting with those people. How do we connect with the folks that we're going to that we've targeted, the folks that we've connected with, or the folks that we've targeted, how do we connect with those people? And our scripture for this is Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 55. And it asks, this person asks a very interesting question of Jesus. And he says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Now, what does that imply? When you hear someone ask a question like that, what's that implying? Isn't that the carpenter's son? What does that imply? Yeah, I mean, what is this guy doing up here teaching? Because he's not anybody. He's just what? He's just a carpenter's son. He's a tektron is the Hebrew word. A tektron. He's a worker of wood. And who is this guy? Who is it? He's speaking these words. He's speaking like no one we've ever heard. But I don't get it. This guy's just a carpenter's son. He doesn't have that intellectual capability. And so with his goal of winning hearts and minds of the people that he's come to preach and teach to, and those people are who? Who did Jesus come to serve? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he came to preach and to teach to. And we saw that in the mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath appointed or anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That was Jesus' mission statement. That was who he came. Do you see anything in there about the rich? Do you see anything in there about the Pharisees? Do you see anything in there about the Sadducees? Do you see anything in there about other than people who are, what will we call these people today? What will we call these people in today's society? What will we call these people? Well, not necessarily the middle class. We'd call these people, these are the marginalized, are they not? So give me some modern examples of what we call the marginalized members of society. Preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor today? The homeless? Those who don't have a place to live? Those who stand out at the corners and beg, although not necessarily all those people are homeless. Not necessarily all those people. Some of those people are scam artists. And how do you decide? Jesus came to teach the poor. He preached the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. What does that tell us to do? Where is a work where we'd have to preach to the captives? Prison work. Jesus wasn't afraid of preaching to captives. The recovery of sight to the blind. Now we can't do miracles today. That was Jesus' job, and that was to proclaim he and the apostles. That was to solidify that the word that they were teaching had power from God, because they could preach and teach those things. But we can certainly work with the blind. We can certainly free those. We can certainly work with those who are the downtrodden, those who are marginalized by society, those who have been written off by everyone else. It's part of our job as Christians. That's Jesus' mission statement. And our mission statement is 2 Timothy 2:24-26, if you care to go and look at that. That's our mission statement. And we're going to look at some other parts of our mission statement today as we try to connect with these people. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to define right now in connecting with people, how did Jesus connect with people? And Jesus connected with people. He connected with them as an outcast. He was just like them. He wasn't formally educated. We don't know much about his childhood. We know that he knew the scriptures. We knew that he had probably studied, but he could have easily chosen another path. He could have easily chosen to become a Pharisee or a religious professional such as a scribe. People called him rabbi, but he wasn't formally trained as a rabbi. He was an outcast, which meant his ministry was to the working class. Where did he spend most of his time? In the big cities preaching? We talked about this last week. He didn't go to the big cities. He was someone who worked in his father's business. The man was a carpenter. The man was a carpenter. The Greek translation in the four accounts of the gospel, Jesus was a tecton, T-E-K-T-O-N. He was a tecton by trade. It refers to someone who works with stone and with wood, Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3. He was a working class guy. He was not rich. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He was out among the people. He was out doing what he could to work with the chosen group that he had targeted. He had targeted Jewish outcasts. He had targeted the poor. He had targeted the downtrodden. He had targeted anyone who was available and willing to listen to his message. What did this get him? What did this get Jesus? For dealing with outcasts, for dealing with downtrodden people, for dealing with all of these marginalized members of society. What did they get Jesus? What did it get Jesus? What did it get him? People made fun of him. They ridiculed him. It even deepened the divide. Now, what about if he'd come to be a Pharisee? If he'd come to be a Pharisee like Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. If he'd come to be a Pharisee, he was gonna deal with only the upper. Would he have ever gotten an audience from the marginalized parts of society? No. No, he wouldn't have. He chose to be a blue collar, what we call today a blue collar worker, working in his father's business. He was rejected from the start. Read anywhere in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, about Jesus. What was one of the things that's most often said about Jesus? He was rejected. He was rejected. He was marginalized. And when we preach to people today, when we try to teach people today, don't be surprised. You'll be marginalized. And you should just prepare yourself for that. You'll be marginalized also. But people throughout the New Testament were mystified by this man because his wisdom, his power, his authority. He spoke as someone who had been formally trained. He spoke as someone who had been one of the ordained religious leaders. He spoke as someone who had great authority. And what they didn't realize was he had all authority. But he spoke as someone who had this. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Matthew 13:55. They were saying quite simply by saying, isn't this the carpenter's son? He's not qualified. He's not qualified to do this. And so they reject him. So they ridiculed him because he established common ground with the working people, with the people that he came, that lost sheep of the house of Israel, came to target those people. Nothing about Jesus, one writer writes, nothing about Jesus breathes the need for large cities like Tiberias or the Sanhedrin's audience in Jerusalem or a daily platform in the courts of the temple, nor does he need Rome's theater to present his word. Indeed, he was always in the most obscure of places. He was out in the countryside. He was not on the grand stages of the great cities of Rome, of Israel. He spoke in the temple on occasion. He did speak in the temple on occasion, but he shared his message primarily with those in the fields, in the homes of the lowly members of society, and those who were fishermen. Working class folks just like everyone that we know, where everybody's just working. And these are the same fields that we have. So how do you establish common ground? How do you connect with people that you want to serve? How do you connect with people? What's your goal? What's your goal? What was Jesus' goal? His goal was to win their hearts and their minds. His goal was to proclaim to them the acceptable year of our Lord. His goal was to teach them that there is something better that is coming. What was his goal? His goal was winning hearts and souls. What was he not? What was Jesus not? And then what was Jesus? So he wasn't someone who saw himself as better. And these are valuable lessons for us. Seeing ourselves as better than someone, you'll never reach anyone if you think you're better than someone. Look at James. Go back to James 1, what we talked about, what the lesson was about today. James 1 talks about that. Don't consider yourself better than anyone else. You know, a lot of people will, you know, come up after class and say, oh, you know, whoa, what a great lesson, what a great... Well, me being up here doing this is not any different than you being up here doing this, quite honestly. If you put in the time to study, if you put in the time to read, if you put in the time to do the background work on all this, you can do this exact same thing. I am no better than anyone else in this room. I am no better than anyone else in this room. Now, some of you are hesitant to speak in front of a group, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. You're hesitant to speak in front of people because, well, I don't have those speaking skills. Well, it's only because you haven't done it. It's only because you haven't gotten up here and you haven't done these sorts of things. And those of us who do public speaking in the audience, there are businessmen who have to get up in front of people and give talks all the time and do things like this. It comes as second nature to us, but it doesn't make us better than you. And Jesus is the same way. He wasn't better than anyone else. This is a man, the Philippian writer says in Philippians 2, says that although he was God, he did what to himself? He emptied himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So he wasn't coming to the world to be better than anyone else. He wanted to establish common ground with those who he came to serve, and that is exactly what we need to do as we connect with people. We need to establish that we have common ground with him, or we'll never connect. If you come across as being better than this person, or you come across as being different somehow, you're never going to connect with people. So Jesus targeted the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The result of his choice was to identify as an outcast, which we've talked about. Staying focused on your target group requires discipline. Requires discipline. If he wanted to become a Pharisee to connect with the Pharisees, if he was hoping to change the elite members of society, he would have lost ground with those common people that he came to talk with. A good example of this is if you're familiar with Evian bottled water. Everybody know what Evian is, bottled water? Okay. You know that spelled backwards is naive, right? So anyway, just a little something for you there. If you look at Evian, it's naive spelled backwards. I mean, when did we start buying water in bottles? I mean, come on. That's, you know. But Evian went to China to try to sell their water to this country of billions of people. And when they test marketed the Evian bottled water, they did not do their research, much like the new Coke people. They didn't do their research. They found out later on that the Chinese in these rural areas preferred to drink water that had a more earthy taste. Had a more earthy taste. And so they didn't drink Evian because it didn't taste like what they wanted it to taste. Evian had no common ground with these people. And so when they changed their formulation, they wanted to serve these people better. The company located well water in China that would maintain a faint, grassy, moldy taste after filtration. And guess what the people in China did? They bought it up by a case that had that faint, grassy, moldy taste after it was filtered. Bought it up. Evian knew that their target group would buy the bottled water, but they didn't know how the water needed to taste because they had not connected with their audience. They had not connected with the group. So, your target group, to serve others, those who are your target, what must you do? What must you do? Philippians 2, verse 7. It's what Jesus did. He emptied himself. We can never be truly united here or anywhere else if we're not humble. Unity demands humility. Unity demands humility. Jesus humbled himself. He emptied himself and took on the form of what? Took on the form of a servant or a bond servant. He took on the form of a slave. And that's how he ministered to people. That's how he worked with. That is the key to being successful in working with people, is you have to empty yourself. There is unity in humility. The Bible teaches that cover to cover. There's unity in humility. So, target groups, they want to know two things. Here are the two things that anyone you target, before you can connect with them, they want to know the answer to these two things. Number one, do I want what you have? Do I want what you have? And that is, by your example, people are going to want what you have. What do you have? What do you have this morning? As we sit here, as we sat through services, as we sit through this class, what do you have this morning? What do you have? Hope. The anchor of the soul. Do you have hope this morning? Hope in a better life here and in the hereafter, but mostly in the hereafter? Do you have that hope? You have to stand in front of the mirror and you have to ask yourself, do they want what I have? I have the Bible. I have the keys. I have the direction. I have everything that is needed. This book provides me with everything that is needed to get myself and someone else or everyone else to heaven. Do you have what other people want? If you do, you've answered the first question. They want, if they are a true and honest heart, they want what you have. And secondly, and the worst part, and the biggest part of it all, can they identify with you? Can you make a connection with these people? Can you connect with them? You have something that a lot of people want. You have something that a lot of people don't want. And that's that 10-80-10. That 10% of people that want what you have, that gift, that spiritual life, that road to eternity, you have that and people want it. How do you identify with them? Because if you can't connect with these people, you can't get the word across to them. You can't get the message across to them. So you have to be able to connect with them. Okay? So, what do? We keep the message simple. Can you see that? Is that even readable? 4,700 by 24. Anybody want to hazard a guess? 4,724. No? Not even a try? You, as an individual, are bombarded from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you close your eyes at night with at least 4,700 advertisements or something that's targeting you as a person in a 24-hour period. 4,700. 4,700 advertising, advertisements, whatever you want. Somebody's advertising that you want something, from everything you see on a sign to everything you hear on the radio to everything you watch on television and everything you see in social media, obviously. 4,700. And in some instances, maybe more. 4,700. How about 656? We are 6% of the world's population. We are 6%, the United States of America, 6% of the world's population. We consume 56% of all the advertising. Everything that is targeted toward us, 56% of it we consume. yet we're only 6% of the world's population. 6% of the world's population, we consume 56% of the world's advertising. That makes the world a very noisy place. And each of you know the level of noise. Those who are older understand more so than those who are young about this noise. And there's a lot of it. Every day, you're bombarded with all these messages. Saying many words usually communicates nothing. So the task here is to keep the message simple. Keep the message simple. What about 56, 266, 297, 300? Those are not songs. Yeah, no, those are not songs. What do you think? If saying more is saying nothing, then saying less always has an impact. The Lord's Prayer, 56 words. The Gettysburg Address, 266 words. Ten Commandments, 297 words. Declaration of Independence, 300 words. It is a military, for those of you who've been in the military, it is a military maxim. You be clear, you be brief, and you be seated. That is a military maxim. You be clear, you be brief, and you be seated. And so, when Jesus says in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Again, his driving mission in life, to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to set free those who are opposed or oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That is, according to Mark 1 and 1, that is the good news. The rules that Jesus laid down are not complex. They are not complex. This is not highbrow philosophy. This is as simple as it gets. This is not trying to read Descartes. This is not trying to interpret great philosophers. This is not trying to interpret Nietzsche. This is simple. It's not complex. His message was not advice. His message was not advice. His message was not news. His core message was to inform people that he was here to set them free. And that should be our core message. We are trying to come into contact with people, to connect with people, to try and help set them free. And this book will do that. This book will set people free. Think about Jesus. Think about his work upon the earth. Think about his relationship with the Creator and how he interacted with people. He offered a message of hope, just as he offers a message of hope today, and all that people have to do is accept it. It's all they have to do. It's free. It doesn't cost a thing, but it costs you everything. Jesus was the master. Go back and read some of his sermons and some of his, we're going to talk about parables in a little while, but go back and read some of Jesus. He was the master of the 1 minute message. He was the master of the 1 minute message. He could have delivered the Sermon on the Mount in less than a minute, one scholar says. In poetic form, the Lord's Prayer can be recited in Hebrew in less than a minute. And almost every parable can be recited in under a minute. Jesus was a master at this. And we have to get, we'll never be as good as he was, but we have to get better at being brief, keeping the message simple. Could Jesus have gotten up in front of a group and talked for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days? Yes, he could have, but he chose not to, because he chose to keep the message very simple. He kept his message brief, and always to the point. Now, here comes the question. Can you explain your core message about Christ to someone in 1 to 2 sentences? Can you explain the reason for your faith? Remember, that's what it said. Always being ready to give an answer. Can you and are you ready to give that answer in 1 to 2 sentences? Keeping it brief, keeping it simple. If you're building a house, as an example, the foundation of the house upon which everything else is built, it must be, those 1 to 2 sentences must be the foundation. They must be solid. You cannot be a jack of all trades and master of none. You have to be focused on laying the foundation. You cannot be a generalist. The message must be targeted. The message must be focused if you expect to connect with anyone. 3 businesses. Many other businesses we could have mentioned. I just chose those 3 because their message targeting is very simple, very straight to the point, and it hits right where it needs to hit. What's Domino's? What was Domino's message? 30 minutes or it's free. When it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight. FedEx. Avis. We're 2. We try harder. Targeted focus if you want to connect with your audience. Targeted focus if you want to connect with your office, with your audience. Distill it down, 1 to 2 core sentences. Keep the message simple. Jesus brand. Researchers have done a lot of study with imaging, images that you see on television. These images are very targeted. These images are made to elicit a response from you. If you're shown in this study, this particular study that I referenced, the research subject in this saw famous logos. Now, close your eyes and imagine you see an apple on the screen with a bite taken out of it. What does that elicit in your mind? If you see a Coke, the image of a Coke bottle, you know what that is, not the image of a Pepsi can. That's awful. Nobody drinks that stuff. Ugh, ugh. You see the image of a Coke bottle. What do you think of? I think of that fizz when you pop that top off and that refreshing first gulp of that cold Coke. The study that they did, logos such as Apple and Coca-Cola triggered the same neurological reactions as when they viewed religious images such as the cross, the Star of David, and other religious symbols. It elicited the same neurological reaction. The cross is our brand. Jesus is the brand. Everything he taught, everything he was, represents how he connected with people and how we must connect with people. We are bombarded with information every day, and most people filter 95% of that information out. They don't even pay attention to it. They don't know what they don't know. And most of them that say they know it, just like in the lesson this morning, Sermon on the Mount was given by Billy Graham. That does not surprise me at all. We are bombarded with those kind of messages all the time. So what do we need to do? What was Jesus' brand? Well, was Jesus a good guy? Was he a teacher? An activist? Was he just a martyr? Was he a savior? Was he a king? What was Jesus? That's his brand. That was who he is. Philippians 2:7, really 3-8, talks about Jesus. Turn over to that. Let's look at that just briefly. We've got just a couple minutes, and we'll probably have to go over into next. How did Jesus characterize himself when he talked to people? We already know the part in Philippians 2:7 where he empties himself. He takes on the form of a bondservant, but he did all this in humility. What were some of the things that Jesus claimed for himself? Some of the examples of the descriptive terms that Jesus used for his brand. I am the what? I'm sorry? I am the vine. You are the branches. I am truth and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but me. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. This is Jesus' brand. This is who he was. This is who he needs us to be. This is what he demands for us to be. How hard is it for us to empty ourselves, take on the form of a bondservant when it comes to connecting with other people? The point in that Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, the point that Jesus made himself of no reputation, says everything that we need to know. He made himself of no reputation. His motive was to teach. His motive was not to promote himself. His message was to promote a higher purpose. And that's what we need to do. We need to promote not ourselves. We're not the brand. We need to promote Jesus as the ultimate purpose for people coming to their Creator. He could not promote this higher purpose without promoting his own personal brand. He could not do that. People will not understand you unless Jesus is the focus of what you talk to them about. You have to make yourself of no reputation. You have to humble yourself. In this way, you will be able to handle the rejection, the ridicule that Jesus had to handle. He's not asking you to do anything he didn't do. He is not asking you to do anything that he did not do. He died. He's not asking you to do that, but if it's called for, would you die for him? He's asked you to come and follow me. Take up your cross daily. Not every Sunday, but every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Everyone has a brand. That's really the take-home lesson. Everyone here has a brand. Everybody outside these doors has a brand. Now, I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any companies. I'm not going to mention anybody in town. But everybody in this town has a brand. Everybody in this town has a reputation. You go to a show at SkyPack and you have a few too many drinks and you try to drive, you've got a brand. There are businesses in this town that you know and that I know. I'll never do business with these people. I know their brand. There are individuals in this town that have a brand, and it's not a good one. They cheat, they steal, they lie. Everyone has a brand. Every family has a brand. The world trains us to live with a false sense of humility. You cannot get anywhere in business in this world if you're humble. You have to be aggressive. You have to be able to crawl over that person that's trying to get that same promotion as you by branding them as a ne'er-do-well or an awful person so that you get the promotion. The world instills in us a false sense of humility. We don't want to be someone who appears as a self-promoter. We want to avoid being a self-promoter. Yet, most of us find it very uneasy to sit on the sidelines and not participate in life, watching everyone else's ideas become reality. But we have to empty ourselves and we have to make ourselves of no reputation. To those whom much is given, Luke 19, I didn't put that one up there. Luke 19:26. To whom much is given, much is required. We've all been given much. And like the talents, we'll be required to give an answer. You have the ability to teach someone. Each one, teach one. You have the ability to teach. You have the ability to minister. You have the ability to impress people with the life that you live. Impress them with your brand, and that brand is Jesus. And that message is very simple. To whom much is given, much will be required. And in the story of the talents, if you don't use your talent, it'll be taken away and given to someone else who will use it. So next week, how do we get this message out? How do we do this? We continue. We'll start with this brand next week, and we'll go through some of these. But next week we'll talk about how did Jesus connect with people? How did Jesus connect with people? His message was very simple, was not complex. But we'll start next week with how he connected with people. And the one way he connected with people was through stories. Talking to people about what you and they have in common. His stories didn't talk about that someday there's going to be things of metal that fly through the sky. People couldn't relate to that. Look at Luke 15. Three parables. Three parables, three stories. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. Every one of these stories that Jesus told, some of the 56 parables that he told through the course of his life, every one of these stories was simple, and people could do what to it? They could relate. They could relate to his stories. They knew what it was like to lose a coin. They knew what it was like to maybe lose a son. They knew what it was like to lose something of value. Stories. That's how Jesus connected with people, and that's how we, in connecting with people and understanding that we're just like them, is the way we can connect also. So we'll start with there next week, good Lord willing.